Good morning.
Good morning.
You guys turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. From the public reading, I think we know where we get the term handsome devil from. That's Absalom. And he was... Nobody was as handsome as Absalom. So highly praised. Sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no defect in him. But boy, on the inside, that guy was as rotten as they come. Bad news. And we'll get to follow through on that in 2 Samuel. But just a reminder for all of us, the external does not matter, guys. One bit. The things that are highly esteemed by man are despised in the eyes of God. Now, let's not get that twisted around. Appreciative of the stewardship today, just a reminder for us that money really is a tool. And it has a purpose. You know, it's like anything else in life. If we have a purpose, it will be a useful tool, be a helpful tool. If we don't have a righteous purpose, then it's going to be destructive. And so we want to keep our priorities in line, and remember to use our finances for the kingdom, for the purpose of the kingdom. And then the Lord's Supper meditation is great. It is awesome to see those Old Testament prophecies and tied in until Shiloh comes, the one who is our peace. Isn't that awesome? And just appreciate Mr. Simpson being able to bring that to light. I do want to say a couple things about the Bible Bowl. The students here were awesome. They put in a tremendous amount of work and effort, and that did get to shine through yesterday. And some kept attitudes up through much adversity. And also, I just wanted to say one of the most encouraging things to me of all was that there were 20 teams there all together. There is a lot of momentum building in the Lord's church. A lot of young people throughout the state and some surrounding regions, and it was really, really exciting to see. I mean, it was a full house of young people, and they almost all of them were diligent in their studies. It was very obvious, and so it's encouraging, very encouraging to see. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7 this morning. The Apostle Paul says, beginning in verse 1, he says, "For it is superfluous for me to write to you about this ministry to the saints. For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians. Namely, that Achaia has been prepared since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I have sent the brethren that our boasting about you may not be made empty in this case. That, as I was saying, you may be prepared. Lest if any Macedonians come with me, and find you unprepared, we, not to speak of you, should be put to shame by this confidence. So I thought it necessary to urge the brethren that they would go on ahead to you and arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful gift, that the same might be ready as a bountiful gift and not affected by covetousness. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do praise your awesome and magnificent name. As we have had the opportunity to study through 2 Corinthians and in this context, Lord, we do thank you for Jesus Christ and for his indescribable gift. We thank you for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he, though he was rich, that he for our sake became poor, that we through his poverty will become rich. Lord, we're thankful for the tremendous sacrifice that he made to bring us back into fellowship with you, that we can have that peace with you. We're so appreciative for that. And Lord, it does put everything else into the proper perspective. Helps us to prioritize our thoughts, helps us to prioritize our words and our actions, our finances, our time, our energy, who we fellowship with. All of these things, Lord, flow because of what You have done for us. And we're so grateful to You. I ask that You be with me today as I preach Your Word, that I would communicate it clearly. And Lord, that we would be the kind of people who follow through, that we would understand clearly that You do have spiritual laws, that they really, they're spiritual laws. You don't break them for anybody, and that we would live our lives in accordance with them. I ask this all through the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So through chapter 8 and on into chapter 9, really the same context. And I hit a couple weeks talking about money quite a bit. I'm not going to keep the focus on money, but that is the context. The churches of Judea were in need. And we saw back in chapter 8 that the Apostle Paul upholds the Macedonian churches for what they have done. And they were a great example of giving. In accordance with their ability and beyond their ability, they had given. Now what I find interesting is that Paul tells the church at Corinth, they're in this region of Achaia, he says, oh, by the way, I've been bragging to you guys about you guys to the Macedonians. Do you see what Paul's doing here? He's motivating. He's stirring them up a little bit. Hey, I've said this good stuff about you guys. They've heard about you, that you are participants with them in this, and that you're committed to this cause, and that you are maybe even a little bit of a spirit of friendly competition. Hey, let's step up and let's match what the Macedonians have done. And, you know, he says, guys, realistically, and this is just a side note I'm putting here in the beginning, realistically, I send in ahead, I want you guys to set this aside and have it ready so that your gift won't be affected by covetousness. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but it is true. I found it myself. You have to, when it comes to money, I have to, I think it's a general principle, most people have to, you don't have everything all in one account and it all runs together. If you want money that's set aside for a specific purpose, you either have to have a separate account, or you have to have your sock drawer, or, you know, your certain envelopes, or whatever it is, that is set aside for that purpose. If it all runs together, you just spend it for whatever. When it comes, this was a specific purpose to be set aside for this gift, and Paul said, hey, make sure you're doing that and setting it aside so it's ready. So then you're not just going into your general account and saying, ooh, I don't know if I can afford to give that. Then it can be affected by covetousness. Not my main point here today, but wanted to. This is the context. What he's really asking, and I'm going to preach again three little mini messages today. What he's really asking, he's saying, guys, follow through on what you've said. Follow through. I found that in life, it is relatively easy to start. Anybody can start. It's much more difficult to finish. You can put anybody on the start of the mile race. Well, let's go marathon. Nikki Moranzik's not here, so we're not going to talk about the 50 milers. But you can put anybody on the start line. All of us could line up, start. Hey, we're going to run a marathon today, 26 miles. We could all line up at the start line. How many of us in this room would be able to finish a marathon? Not running. My hands are behind. I think I can walk. Yeah. Okay. As long as it is fast day. Might be tough. Anyways. You know, what is it that separates the talkers from the doers? What really separates talkers from doers is follow through. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 7. How many of you in your life have encountered that person that talks real big? They got the whopper stories, man, and they got the, you know, they can, to hear them, you would wonder how long they've been alive. They've been so many different places and done so many things. And so, but after a while, you hear these people. It's like, you're watching them at the same time. I'm not buying it. Anybody can tell the stories, but who can actually do it? I forget who the person is, somebody from Bozeman, Montana, a few years back. They had written this book of all this, and it was, shall we say, slightly embellished. There are a lot of people who talk bigger than what they do. The bottom line, brethren, is what we do. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus just says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." You think Jesus is interested in our follow-through? We talked about a few weeks ago, all the rewards go to him who overcomes, to him who finishes the race. Some years ago, I read a book, and I actually went through it with my boys and maybe even some of the other young people in the assembly, but a guy named Michael Johnson. Michael Johnson is famous for wearing gold spikes in the 1996 Olympics, and the first person ever in the history of the Olympics, at least modern Olympics, to win the gold medal in both the 200 meters and the 400 meters. And he wrote a book that was called Slaying the Dragon. Now, to me, that title has all sorts of spiritual implications. He's not aware of them, but for us, I think the principles here, I picked up on some things. And the big one that I want to hit today is in 10 years, this guy never missed a day of training. In 10 years leading up to that, never missed one day of training. Why was he able to follow through and win the 200 meters? Because he never let himself off the hook. In this book, one of the points that he made, he said, "You finish the workout. If you say, 'I'm going to do 5 sets of 10, you do 5 sets of 10. Guys, I've worked out enough to know the way the mind plays games. Oh, man, I'm feeling sick. I think 8. Reps of 8. 4 sets of 10. Your mind wants to let you off early. Now, I don't care about training for 200 meters and 400 meters. What I care about is the spiritual things. What the Lord cares about is our spiritual things. We commit to do something. Don't let yourself off the hook. Finish the workout every time." One of the worst things I ever did, when I ran, I think I was at this national meet when I was 12 years old, and I got third in the 3,000 meters, and I ran the race of my life. Third in the nation, 3,000 meters. The next day was 1,500 meters. My calves were killing me. After one lap, I walked off the track on that 1,500 meters. My calves were hurt from the day before, but I should have just finished that race, even if I finished it terribly. Because you let yourself off out here once, it's easy to do it the next time. It's easy to do it the next. There is a principle: finish the workout. The way Michael Johnson said it, and he's not inspired by any means, but he said the basis of self-discipline is you don't allow the edges to blur. You understand that? What he's saying there? It's black and white. You say 5 sets of 10, it's 5 sets of 10. Brethren, when it comes to our spiritual things, what we commit to, we need to follow through. You make a commitment that you're going to read your Bible every day. Don't read your Bible 5 days a week. Read your Bible 7 days a week. You make a commitment in reference to your prayer. I remember Don DeWelt in prayer, he said, "You make a no exception commitment that you're going to spend time in prayer." No exceptions. Don't let yourself off the hook. Scripture memorization. If you have goals, if you don't have goals, probably a good idea to start them. Follow through. Don't let yourself off the hook. Today's fasting day. If you make a commitment to fast, follow through. In giving is what he's talking about here. You make a commitment to give, fall. Don't let that be affected by covetousness. Don't let the edges blur. Give what you said you'll give. I'm going to commend you guys for a second. On this church building project, we finished better than what we pledged. That says something about the character of people in this congregation. We followed through. But that's, we don't want that to be a one-time thing, do we? We want to be that, to continue to be our character, to follow through. How about with people? This one's tough for me. People are work. Some people are a lot of work. My brother Matt has said, I'd rather dig ditches all day long than work with people those same hours. When we say something, we start, we ask somebody for a Bible study, follow through. I've seen it, I've done it. I work with them. They frustrate me. I don't have time anymore. I'm not talking about people who are playing games. People who are playing games, I don't mind saying, hey, I'm not going to... That's on you. Okay? So, people are playing games. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people maybe who are putting forth an effort, but they're more work than we intended. They're more work than we thought they were going to be. Follow through on what we say. Jesus said, let our yes be yes, and our no be no. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In terms of following through on what the Corinthians had said they were going to do, he brings up in verse 6, he says, now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. There are some laws of the harvest that I want to briefly hit today. Bottom line is this, guys. In this life, you get what you deserve, and you deserve what you get. I mean, spiritually, we can say we've gotten way more good than what we've deserved. But as Christians, what we put forth is what we're going to get out. In a marriage, what you put in is what you get out. You have a bad marriage, guess what? Only you can change that. You need to change what you're putting in. Complicated thing with marriage, it takes two people. Okay? But if you don't like what you have, you got to change something. There's a bottom line. And as a freebie here, I hate it when Christians say karma. Forget, that's New Age garbage. Scripture says, let's go over to Galatians. Well, I'm just going to mention it. Galatians chapter 6. What you sow is what you reap. That's scriptural. Don't let this New Age Eastern mysticism come in to the Lord's church. Okay? Let's just call this what it is. What you sow is what you reap. Example of physical crops. It's pretty straightforward. You plant corn, you don't get peas. I love kids. I mean, they are so innocent. And they don't know how to lie yet. So they try to lie, and they're so easy to catch. You say, how did this happen? And they tell you something, and it makes no sense whatsoever. But, yeah, hey, guys, what do you think our dishonesty looks like to our Heavenly Father? You walk out, there's peas here. How did these peas get here? I don't know. I planted corn. Baloney. Hey, Galatians chapter 6, you sow to the flesh, from the flesh you reap corruption. That is a spiritual law. You sow to the Spirit, from the Spirit you reap eternal life. That is a spiritual law. God does not change that for anybody. He doesn't change that for any of us. What you sow is what you reap. So you look, you see, and you should have these conversations with the Lord. I'm talking about He speaks to us through the Word, doesn't He? We're looking, we're being honest, and He says, what are these peas here? You can't say, I planted corn. What you sow is what you reap. Very clearly. For good or for bad. We can have this We should have this working for us for good. In the spiritual realm, brethren, we are guaranteed a harvest. This keeps me moving. You can't always, we'll get to this in a second. You don't see it right away. But you are guaranteed a harvest. In the physical realm, you're not guaranteed a harvest. Okay. I think we got a few farmers with us today. And I don't know if, I just remember talking to Steve Heimbaugh. He's not here, but got some representatives. But they never really happy with the weather, are they? I mean, it rains, but the rain didn't come at the right time, or those guys are in, they have this land. They know what would be best for their harvest. But there are some years, guys, that basically there's no harvest. Or a very limited harvest because of circumstances beyond the control of the guy that's doing the sowing. The weather that comes in. In the spiritual realm, it doesn't work that way. We're guaranteed a harvest. With that, though, there's a time delay. Let's go ahead and turn over to Galatians 6. I should have read this the first time. Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to go ahead and read verses 6 through 9. Let's do 6 through 10. Let the one who has taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. I am thankful for verse 9 in the Scriptures and some other Scriptures that make the same point. Okay, don't lose heart in doing good. In due time. In due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. There's a time delay. There always is between what we sow and what we reap. But the guarantee from our Heavenly Father is, with time, this is going to happen. That's encouraging to me. Because, man, sometimes you're looking and you don't see anything. I remember when Matthew was a little guy. We were in the house. We had moved in there. And the people that were there before us had in the backyard, half of the yard was a weed garden, maybe? Weed garden, other stuff mixed in. Mrs. Simpson's not giving me any feedback. Mr. Simpson, yeah, I think. So, it's like, okay, we're not going to do this half the yard garden thing. So, we tilled it, and we're gonna plant some grass seed back there. This is as good a farming as I get. And so, we did that, and we planted this grass seed, and we did this in the fall, right before the snow came, and man, we were ready. And come springtime, man, I'd take Matthew out there, we'd go out there and we'd looking for the first stuff to come up, right? And man, one day, finally, we saw some green sprouting out. Yes. Well, come to find out, the first green that was coming up were the weeds that we still hadn't got rid of completely. But finally, this grass seed that we had planted actually started coming up. There's a time delay. We were out there checking it out. Is it going to come up? Sometimes, guys, spiritually, we're working with people. We're doing things. We're sowing to the Spirit. And we're wondering. I don't see it. And sometimes we got there to check, and the first green we see come up, it's still a leftover weed from some of our past sowing. Some people quit. It doesn't work anyways. There's a guarantee in here. It works. In due season, in due time, we shall reap. If we don't, I like the King James, if we don't grow faint, if we don't lay down and die, if we don't quit, if we don't get tired and quit. Another law of the harvest, it comes back multiplied. The awesome thing is you get out more than what you put in. In a negative sense, the book of Hosea, chapter 8, verse 7 says, you have sown the wind, you have reaped the whirlwind. What we sow always comes back multiplied. When you are sowing seed, you're sowing little seed. And out of those seeds comes plants and other fruit with multiple seeds on it. You get out more than what you put in again, for positive or negative. And that's the point here from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. verse 6, how much you sow dictates how much you're going to reap. He who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. There is one sense, please be careful the way I say this, but there's one sense in which Christians, it's okay to be greedy. How much do you want from the Lord? I want everything He has to offer. Is eternal life too much to ask? No, I want eternal life. The book of Romans would actually say God's looking for people who want these things, who seek for glory and honor and immortality. God's looking. Those kind of people get eternal life. It's okay to be careful, but you understand what I'm saying. It's okay to be spiritually greedy. I remember Mark Taylor said this a few times, that as Christians, like, our goal, the competition should be to really outdo each other in serving one another. Outdo each other, one another in love. That's the way as Christians we should be. It's not that I'm trying to elbow this guy in the face on the way down to, I'm going to outserve you. It's the goal is we want to sow bountifully. I had a friend, and his dad was, this is one of his dad's favorite sayings. He'd say, if a little's good, then a whole lot is a whole lot better. Now, that's not always true. But spiritually, in terms of what we sow, guys, that's true. You know, I think there's always the rules with they give the package, gives the rules, and, you know, only sow this, this much seed for this much square feet or whatever. Spiritually, guys, you can't sow too much. He who sows bountifully is going to reap bountifully. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38. We'll start in verse 36. Jesus says, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Guess what, guys? In this spiritual life, you get what you deserve, and you deserve what you get. By your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you in return. You know, the book of Proverbs talks about somebody in a negative sense. It says, leech has two daughters. Give, give. In this world, and I'm going to just talk about the church, because we're all Christians here. Lord's church, we are one of two kinds of people. We are either givers or we're takers. If you're a taker, Scripture says you're a leech. That's what it says. I don't want that. I want to be a giver. And you know what? Even if you're coming at it, when I said it's okay to be spiritually greedy, the best way to get is to give. Now, you got to give for the right reasons. But there is a principle that Jesus says, by your standard of measure, it will be given to you in return. When you give, you get back. That is a guarantee. You think the Lord isn't keeping track? You don't think there's... You think He's kidding when He's talking about storing up treasures in heaven? It's what you give back. And even in this life, and in the spiritual life, and in the Lord's church, this holds true, doesn't it? You give, you're a kind of person that does stuff, it comes back to you. Potluck's next week. What you gonna bring? Hey, seriously. Seriously. We either come into everything with an intention of giving or of just taking. I'm not saying everybody has to cook. I mean, there's, you know, some of you give in lots of other areas. But I'm saying there's a principle here that shows up. There is a church building that needs to be cleaned. We still do that volunteer. I like it. Good opportunity. I think we've talked to leadership guys. We've talked about maybe some people that need to earn a little extra money can do some deeper cleaning, which could, the place could use. But the general cleaning, hey, you have an opportunity to give. If we get a lawn this summer, there'll be a lawn to be mowed, you know, etc. Okay? We are working on that somewhere. There's a principle. You give, and it will be given to you. These laws of the harvest, they hold true in all areas of our spiritual life. They are true in reference to money. They're true in reference to time. They're true in sharing the word. Ultimately, guys, God cares about what's going on inside. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm not done working on this giver or taker thing because I think it's really important, but I want to talk about attitudes before I get any further on this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, we heard the message today. We have to give. I haven't cleaned the church building in 5 years. I should sign up and do it. I'm going to go do it because they preached and said we have to do it. That's not what the Lord's talking about, right? You do as you purpose in your heart. And not grudgingly, not under, not because somebody took. God loves a cheerful giver. The externals, guys, don't do any good if the heart isn't right. Scripture is very, very clear on that. We have all sorts of examples. Jesus upholds the Pharisees as a bad example of that. You guys clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, and inside you are full of filth and dirt. Now you guys whitewash the tombs, and inside you're full of dead men's bones. Hey, the outside means nothing if the inside isn't right. That you read the book of Malachi. God says, please, somebody shut the door. Quit bringing these offerings and sacrifices in here. I'm tired of them. Isaiah says the same thing. Malachi says, why? You know what? You make a pledge. You're going to bring the first fruit and you bring some crippled or lame animal into here. Knock it off. I don't want that stuff. Hey, guys, as Christians, what do we bring? Our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. What? How would we bring a crippled or lame body if our attitude's bad? If our heart isn't right, if the inner man, our spirit isn't right, we can go through all the motions and God doesn't like it. He says, shut the door. Quit. Don't do it if you can't have a good attitude. If you do it, have a good attitude. Make the decision first. I'm going to do this with a good attitude. Now, I'm not saying that's always easy in the moment. I think it's interesting. I go to 1 Peter chapter 4. That this one in particular is one I thought of. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Hey, hospitality is great, isn't it? Hospitality is tough. I mean, you got people to live with you? That's tough. Attitudes can go bad pretty fast. You help somebody out in the Lord's church, sometimes you can get a bad attitude about helping them out. Hey, don't do that. Guys, if you can't do it with a good attitude, you're better off not to do it. Be hospitable to one another. Oh yeah. Without complaint. When we serve each other, Mark, when we're out doing each other, out, we should be doing that with a smile on our face. There are times that tears might be coming down your eyes because there's pain and sacrifice involved. But a smile still should be on our face. You understand what I mean by that? The attitude is still right, even though it costs a lot. There are times, brethren, I'll just be honest, this is one of the things that in our prayer lives, it's an opportunity to work on. I pray that my attitude stays right. I love every single person in here. But at any given moment, my attitude could go bad and I might not treat you like I love you. Now, I'm not, whatever I'm doing then at the time isn't isn't right. Maybe some of you have to pray for your attitudes too. But the Lord loves a cheerful giver. I want to close this with one major thought. Back to, we're either givers or we're takers. And Jesus said it, and it's true. Give, and it will be given to you. But in my life, I have found, if I do something with the intention of giving, that's how I get the most. If I go into anything with an attitude of getting, of simply of receiving, I'm always a little disappointed. Somebody, something let me down. Wasn't as good as my expectations. It is. Let's just talk about the assembly of the saints. We come in, and if my attitude is such, I need people to give me some encouragement today. And that's the attitude I come in with. So I come in here, and I need people to encourage me today. And I have a scowl on my face and a bad attitude. I walk out of this place saying, man, nobody talked to me. What's up with this church anyways? The very thing I need, nobody gave me. And I walk out of here feeling worse than when I came in. But if I come in and say, man, I'm going to give. I'm going to encourage. I want to help other people. I come in here and I give and I encourage. And man, it's amazing how much I get encouraged. Everybody else is friendly and cheerful to me. And guess what? Pretty soon I walk out of this place full of life and energy to give to people in the world that are going to try to suck it out of me. That's the scripture says that. Let's close with Hebrews chapter 10. Why do we come? And this is true of everything in our life. But particularly, I'm going to close here with the assembly of the saints. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. There is a guaranteed harvest, isn't there, guys? Don't quit. Don't quit. God promises. He who promised is faithful. Let us consider. A little bit of thought even goes into this. How to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. How can I give to my brother? How can I encourage? How can I help make them better? How can I help them on their walk to heaven? Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is an awesome thing. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. You give a little, you'll get a little. If you give a lot, you get a whole lot. If a little is good, guys, then a whole lot is a whole lot better. Let's be cheerful givers. Let's stand.